With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 25th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
Taryn, I'm doing well. I'm half a coffee in, not a whole coffee in today, but it's been more low-key in that I feel like we kind of know where this week's going to go, unlike the last couple weeks that have been a little bit, little messier. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about some stuff here with you today.
Yes, we have a new HOH. We have new plans for the week and a potentially new house structure coming into place, or at least the seeds of one, as things are finally sort of settling down from that which was Kyle. Yeah. So we're going to get into it all, of course, talk through everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Candidate 10 live feeds. It was day 27. In the house, and we had an eviction. Kyle was evicted unanimously, and he went out the door. He said he had a secret power that was still in the house. I don't think I heard a word of it last night.
No, I don't think anyone talked about it. It did not have the impact he thought it would. And like, why are you trying to put this on, like, weight on people's heads on the way out, guy? Well, why are you doing this? Ultimately, it does not give any results, because I legitimately heard zero things about it last night.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I'm always down for people trying things.
My question is, what did he say? Door number 12? Was door number 12 part of the competition?
I think he just said number 12, right? Like he didn't, I don't even think he said door.
He said number 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, well, there are certainly lots of numbers over doors, but there are numbers elsewhere as well. So, you know, it's possible that some people are like, not saying it out loud, but just kind of like keeping an eye out for 12.
Yeah.
You know.
This was the Dan Giesling's cousin of it all, of like a couple of seasons ago, but for Kyle. So
people still think that's real.
Stop it. No, they do not. People
thought it was real for years afterward, that they still thought that was real. That's what happens. It's the miscommunication. It doesn't always just happen in the house. It also happens quite a lot outside of the house. All it takes is for one person to be like, yeah, he's his cousin.
I mean, last year you were moving and people were like, he's in the house. Next thing you know, half of Twitter was like, Taryn's going to be in the house. And the other half was like, no, he's not. And then everyone's like, hey, Puya, is he going to be in the house? Stop it, please.
Yeah. For years and years, people thought I was from Canada because my audition video had a joke where I crossed out Boston and I put Canada.
Canadian Taryn.
This is what happens.
Yeah. People,
the misconceptions fly. So Kyle's gone. They had a new HOH crowned in an HOH competition. We found out who the legends were. And we did get some legends because we got the lion himself, Anthony Douglas.
That's right. That's right.
We got the Lady Pleaser, Godfrey Manguiza.
That's right, number two.
We got Spicy V. Hold on, I've got a great Spicy V.
The Audacity.
Yes.
Good one.
We've got Cindy with an S.
Don't get it
appropriate after Kyle's C. HOH reign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Jed.
That's right. We got Jed back as well. Yeah, those are the five. I'm not surprised that they didn't bring back some people that they've already used either through video or, you know, Ike and Demetri were in the house, but I think they're busy anyway. It was nice to get a fresh new five for the competition. We'll see them on Monday, I imagine. So.
Yes, Monday is likely when we will see the them in the game. Not sure exactly like how involved their role was. I think they were, you know, they had like things going on. I think they said that Cindy's was like space themed. Or something along those lines, which fit like the theme of her season.
Were they recreating moments is what I was going to ask. Were they like
potentially
in? Yeah. Were they like doing live frame of like a pose from a prior?
What season would Cindy's moment have been? Putting like that up.
Honestly, if Cindy had just stand there, hands on the face like this, for like 15 minutes.
Oh God. Oh boy. So that's what we had from the HOH competition. We got some of those people, but the winner of the HOH competition was Jess.
That's
Jess
right.
Won the HOH competition.
Taryn, I'll tell you this. I've been covering these TikTok evictions every week, and finally something important came out of it because Arissa asks Kyle, who do you think won? Kyle said Josh, Arissa said try again. And then Kyle said Jess. And Arissa said, congratulations, you got something right. Yeah, that's how I found out Jess won before the feeds came on. So it was like, ooh, little spoiler. But yeah, you get some perks from TikTok sometimes.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird that came from Arissa before the feeds came back up. I was talking with Scally and Chantel before the podcast, and they were like, I don't know. We don't want to know.
Yeah.
Let's find out on the podcast. It'll be a while.
Yeah. Well, I assume that to me, that tells me that the feeds were supposed to come on right after the episode and they were just on a little bit longer of a delay because the feeds weren't off for all that much longer, maybe like 15, 20 minutes afterwards, potentially.
Yeah, I think it took another, you know, 20, 30 minutes for the feeds to come up. But yeah, that's pretty typical.
I said it last night. I'm like, I'm not going to make a coffee until I watch feeds for 15 minutes because last week, Taryn, I had a full coffee. Feeds never came back on and I was just wired till like 3 a.m. So.
So Jess is the HOH. And when the feeds opened up, Jess was talking with Moose. Jess is doing some interviews, taking some applications for who they should bring to Wendy's. And I do not believe that Moose was the first person up for the interviews, but he is the first person that we are going to see. And so this led to a little bit of confusion as I was trying to figure out what was going on during the podcast. I was like, I guess Moose is going to Wendy's. That's very surprising. I figured Jess would nominate Moose. Yes, Jess is probably nominating Moose. This conversation doesn't go super well. Jess wants to know why Moose should be the pick for Wendy's. He says, first of all, I love Wendy's. I went all the time in college. And he says, but here's the thing. I don't want to campaign too hard for it because I don't think that you need to take me to Wendy's. I'm already really good with you. I would love for you to use your Wendy's date on somebody that you need to use it for. Jess is like, well, I did hear that I was an option for you, as a potential like nominee if you ever won HOH. And he says, well, I mean, everyone's an option. I would say anybody. I'd think it through. He's like, you know, you're a strong competitor, you're a player I'd want to keep around. And you're like, oh, a strong competitor? Doesn't mean you see me as a target? And he's like, no. And they were like after you won the veto, you realized you wanted strong competitors around. He's like, yeah, exactly. That thing.
That's what helped. Yeah, it was interesting because for me, finding out that, oh, these are just Wendy's interviews makes it difficult because you can imagine everyone's trying to get in that room and spit some game with the HOH and try and be like, hey, HOH, like, we're obviously good or we can work together. But most of the focal point of this was the Wendy's interviews. Obviously, Jess is trying to get some information out in the process. But as far as the conversation with Moose goes, it didn't seem as horrible to me in the beginning until later in the night. I found out, oh, no, it was very horrible for a lot of other reasons that are going on.
Yeah. And so, you know, Moose is saying again, like, look, I want to reiterate that I want you to use Wendy's on somebody that it would be more valuable for you to use it on. They say, well, who would that be then? Who should I be worried about? And he's like, you don't have to be worried about it, but maybe like Summer, maybe you should bring Summer. I feel like that would be a great person for you to build a relationship with. I mean, I think Moose is trying to be genuine here. I think Moose is trying to give genuine advice. I don't think that Jess is too much of a target for Moose at this time. And I think he genuinely was trying to say, like, look, you're good with me. I'm not looking at you. Why don't you build with Summer? She's in an influential spot right now. But Jess kind of took it as like, I see you don't think you need to go to Wendy's, huh?
You feel safe? Is that what you're telling me? You don't need the extra face-to-face time with me to talk me out of it? Great. Yeah.
Jess does not like this conversation. Jace is going to come in next, and Jess was like, oh, thank God. Get this guy out of here.
Yeah. And the conversation with Jace, probably a lot more positive with Jess than the Moose and Jess conversation was.
I would say significantly more positive. I think that Jace is somebody that has been talking to Jess a lot over the last few weeks. One of the few people that Jace has really like talked to, and that Jace has like really, I wouldn't say stuck her neck out for, but like in comparison to how little Jace sticks her neck out for anybody, Jace has been like, yeah, don't put up Jess like once or twice,
right?
Which is like a lot for Jace, who actively tried to get Steph out. So they get along really well, and their conversation flows much more naturally. They're joking around. Jace is like, "Look, I live for Wendy's," and Jess says, "Well, so technically you're dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
You live for Wendy's."
Very literal, but I did love it.
And they're just joking around, getting along, before they get to the game talk. Jess says that it's like real talk. I don't want to take you to Wendy's because I want to keep this, you know, thing on the down low. I feel like that would be, not only a waste, but it might expose what we've got going on. Jace. Really, really annoying. Jace completely agrees. Jess wants to know though, like, where's Gino's head at? Because I don't really talk to Gino much. And Jace says, don't worry about Gino. He's pointed in the right direction. He's looking at the right targets. You know, we've talked about it. It's Moose, T, and Herman. They are the three-headed snake. And we need to be looking at them. Jess says, yeah, I mean, Herman and Moose have both said my name. And so that's definitely where I'm looking.
Right. And, you know, the whole conversation with Wendy's, Jess does bring up the word optics. You know, this is probably going to be the word of the season at this point, given how much it gets said, but mentioned that the optics don't want to have the optics be seen. And I think this is more so Jess is really trying. I think what I've noticed from Jess last night is Jess is really going to be trying to keep every connection she has that's positive under wraps, to the point where she will be telling people that they feel closer to. Sorry, that listen, we're good, but I don't want people to know we're good. That's kind of what I want out of this week. Now, as far as the potential targets look, this is where we start seeing a more clear-cut picture of Moose is being brought up, Herman is being brought up, and this trend will be refreshing every conversation pretty much from here on out.
Yes. And and again, like, this is something that stems back to Marty and Kyle and to a lesser extent you know, Gino back during Marty's HOH when Marty was very suspicious of of some of these players being aligned and having something. And this is something that Summer has talked about with Marty. We've talked about on the updates. And that Marty's, in terms of the roots, Marty's sort of suspicion seemed to rub off onto Kyle during that week where, remember when Betty went up as a blindside, it was like, oh, look at the reactions, look at where people went. And that seemed to really trigger the whole thing, like moving into the house's mind where they started talking about it. It became a real thing to them, even though it was never really that real. I mean, I think in Hermann's mind, it was something that he was thinking about for the future. Like, he had Kyle and Gino in the seven on one side, and he had, Summer and Tanisha on the other side. But it was never a locked in thing. And he was always, I mean, really talked more game with the guys than the women. And he had more things going on with the guys than he did with the women. And of course now he is looking at like moving in that direction, right? He's been trying to build something with Tanisha, Summer, Moose. And he's also been looking at Josh. But it something that came up long before that was ever even close to a reality. And then I've also talked about like the weird way in which somehow Tanisha became the mastermind and all of that.
Right. Yeah.
which still kind of exists. But to a slightly lesser extent now, but still, I mean, we're going to hear, Kevin later say, like, I think Tanisha has one of the best social games I've ever seen. Despite the fact that he will, talk some about Summer as well, but we'll get to that later. So, I mean, I definitely think that, as some of the players in the house have pointed out, like there, like Summer, like there has definitely been some, I think some bias coming into play when it comes to grouping these players together. And it has resulted in a divide that optically, seems not great. And it is something that is being noticed, by Jess at the very least in terms of I don't want to like play into this, but at the same time, like this seems to be where I need to go. And so the conversation is definitely happening.
Yeah. I mean, this is what happens when you make one misread and then it might become a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit when you essentially, group everyone together and then they're together. You're like, oh, I was right. No, you were not right. You were not right. That was not a good read. But now it just happens to maybe line up with what you were incorrectly looking at, which is complicated. But I did see a good thread this morning on Twitter highlighting all of that. So please go to, I don't remember who posted it. It was a good, if I find it, I'll throw a retweet on it so you can find it on my timeline.
Yes. Well, so there's a lot of talk of that going on. But in terms of Jess and Jace, Jess does say that, look, I don't want you to have to, I don't want you to have to be like the go-between between me and Gino. Like Jess has never had a great relationship with Gino. They just don't talk a lot. Jess has had this exact conversation with Kyle where Kyle had been telling, Jess like, hey, you're cool with Gino because I'm cool with you and Gino is cool with me. Like, I just saw how that lasted. So Jess is kind of saying like, I want to be able to have a relationship with Gino if we're going to, be working together. And, Jess is like, absolutely. Like I'll make sure he's talking to you. And Jace how Gino is feeling about Hermann, because that's kind of the big shot this week. And they see that Hermann is always trying to buddy up with the guys. And they're worried that there is a connection there. Jace says, I don't know, we don't really trust him. We've kind of like learned some things about Hermann. You don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point in the conversation, it's very clear that Jess is going to want Gino and Jace in front of them as targets, as moving targets. But the thing that I guess this might be a little too soon to bring up, but we'll get to it, I guess. I'll just leave it at this, but I want to talk about Jess's plans for alliance making this week, or lack thereof.
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll definitely get there because it's, I think a lot of it stems from, the idea of wanting to, what you said before, wanting to keep things on the down low, mm-hmm. Which is, something that I think also applies to Helena's game a little bit as well. But, in the meantime, Jess is going to have a couple of other quick conversations. One of them is with Marty. Jess says, hey, we've both won two things now. Look at that. And they say, Marty, I know you're bad at faking things and people are already starting to lump us together. So please stop being so happy.
Yeah. If you can pretend you're not happy.
And also please keep repairing things with Gino because, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is feeling good.
Right. And, you know, Marty gets a huge pass, I think, for a couple reasons. One, because he has a tough time faking and not giving away all of his goodies. I feel like a lot of people are onto this. I think Jess is someone who's onto this as well. So Marty's objective this week is relatively simple. Patch things up with the people that you may have unpatched things with. Now, is he going to be effective at doing this? Taryn, if I was going to wager, I would say probably not too effective, but he has 6 nights to do it. So we'll see how that goes for him.
We'll see. I think that the way that most people who are working with Marty are starting to look at Marty is if he's cool with me, that's great. I want to keep him on board, but I'm going to tell him as little as possible because he can't keep his mouth shut. And hopefully he'll be a nice big target in front of me, that's, I think, the right way to look at Marty.
I could see Marty just being the casualty in a double. I could see him going in that direction. We're like, okay, bye. See ya. I really could see that going that way. And I think the reason I brought all that up as well is because the way Jess and Marty interact, it's clear to me that Jess is probably currently, at the very least, not looking at Marty in any way, shape, or form for this week. Yeah. Again, Marty kept Jess off the block week 2. I feel like the favor is going to get returned here.
Yes. So Tanisha and Herman are going to have a brief conversation as well. Tanisha says this week she is not as worried as she was during Gino's HOH, which is a right call, I think, here. Tanisha was in a lot of trouble in Gino's HOH, not as much here with Jess. Tanisha says that she thinks that that Jess will probably want to go for Moose because they were asking her a lot last week how close she was with Moose. And so that indicated to her that, that Jess probably looking at Moose. Herman thinks that they might also go for Marty because of the interaction that happened, morning of day 26, that we covered on yesterday's update. When Jess was, talking with Josh about how upset they were, learning that Marty had been behind the Josh thing, the, Kyle nominating Josh, and Josh was kind of dismissive of the conversation. Jess later regretted bringing it up because Josh said he didn't want to talk game at that time. But Jess was very upset about it. And that indicated to Herman that Jess may be looking at Marty as a potential target, which they are not at this time. It's also going to be a factor in people talking about Jess's relationship with Josh and feeling like there might be a strain there. People feel that from the outside and people feel that from the inside as well, that that there might be a little bit of a rift happening between Jess and Josh. We've talked about that already, that it does exist. We know that Josh would have wanted to keep Marty over Jess and that Josh has kind of been a little bit annoyed with Jess, feeling like Jess follows him around a little bit and also feels like Jess can't keep much of a secret, which is something that Jess is going to learn pretty soon once we get there. But really the important bit here is that Tanisha feels okay, feels like Jess might go for Moose, and Herman is misreading this situation. He had a conversation with Jess with feeds off. He apparently told Jess that he would be the best Wendy's date that she would have. It would be the most fun she'll have on a Wendy's date, or that they'll have on a Wendy's date. And Jess was like not enthused about that pitch.
Yeah. And in the later, not retellings, but impressions we get, Jess implies that they would like to have a quiet, chill Wendy's. And I feel like the impression they got is that Herman will not be delivering that quiet, chilled energy they're looking for this Wendy's date.
Mm-hmm. So Summer and Tanisha are going to talk as well. And Summer talks to Tanisha about the original Final Four that was between Moose, Herman, Gino, and Kyle, that eventually they swapped out Moose for Marty. And it became a Marty, Herman, Gino, and Kyle Final Four. And it's just another example of Herman being with those guys. They never knew about that until Marty told them about it. And they just don't trust Herman. They feel like Herman uses them as numbers and that is how he sees them. And if they had to choose between Herman and Moose, they would definitely, or at this time, they think they would prefer to keep Moose around. They feel like he'd be more loyal to them than Herman would be, which is very bad news for Herman. If it's looking like Herman's going to be up on the block against Moose, it would likely be a very close vote if he were to stay in the first place, which would kind of be a pull because the HOH does often have a lot of influence over where the votes will go. And to make a close, you know, six to whatever vote, how many people left? There's four people evicted, so nine votes. So they need five votes. So 5-4 vote is a tough pull to begin with. And when even your allies are not like a two people who will be votes are looking at not voting to keep you, it's looking pretty locked in that Herman would probably leave over Moose at this time. Of course, Herman has a lot of time to put in some work, but not great.
No, it's imperative, should he be wanting to stay, that he has the votes of Tanisha and Summer. I feel like listening to Tanisha and Summer talk about it, it's very clear Herman has done stuff in the previous weeks that they've not been able to shake. You know, the other thing is the whole trying to get the 6-5 vote going. Earlier today, this morning, Summer was talking about how he tried to get her to vote Jess as a rogue vote. And it's stuff like this. It's the extra stuff that he's done that he need not have done that is now coming back to haunt him. And then obviously having something that he was working on get leaked by someone else doesn't put him in a good light either. Now, again, I think, you know, he is shown to be someone who will always hustle and put the work in. It'll be interesting to see if he can get himself out of these tight spots this week, because it's not looking good right now. Whereas maybe a day ago, I would have felt a little bit more, I think he could survive the block versus Moose. Right now, it's a lot more on the other side of things.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, he's really just tried to get some sort of stable structure together that he could just ride to the end. It is not working in this house, and he has not been able to fully pivot away. It seemed like if this HOH had gone his way, he had a chance to rebuild, and that really could have locked in his game. But instead, it went in the complete opposite direction. The person that he put up on the block week one won the HOH. And it's really worst case scenario here for Herman. It's looking like he's either going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat here or win a veto if he wants to stay alive. And even then, I don't know that he can ever really rebuild and create the structure that he clearly wants to if he wants to you know, make this game work. I think he's going to have to look at a different method if he wants to move forward in this game post this week, once if he survives the week. So we'll see where that goes. In the meantime, Kevin is going to talk with Jess. And this is a big conversation, definitely the biggest of the night. He says, Jess, you're a legend. This is a great HOH to win. He says, first of all, like, what can I do to help you this week? And they say, the thing I need from you the most is that we need to talk more frequently. I get paranoid when you're not talking to me. And I get that we want to like hide the relationship, but I need more communication. And, you know, Kevin should be listening to this. This is something that they have already told him. And so, you know, it's Kevin has acted as though Jess is expendable to him in the past. It seems as though that is kind of the case for his game. Obviously, they're very valuable to his game, but he's not exactly the most loyal to Jess. He was really looking to throw Jess under the bus in the previous weeks. And so this is a correct read from Jess, but at the same time, very few other people give Jess the light of day. And so even though Jess feels a little skeptical, as Jess said in the episode, like all of their marbles are in his basket and there's really nowhere else to turn. And so they're just like, can you please stop making me worry about you? Because I've got nothing else. I've got like Jace, but you know, she's in a showmance with this dude. Like, I've got nothing else. So please, I need you to be working with me. And he's like, absolutely. I'm absolutely with you. We'll talk much more frequently this week. Totally in. So like, okay, who do we want to work with? Who should we be looking at? Kevin says, Marty is terrible. He can't keep anything to himself. But obviously, we shouldn't be taking a shot at him. We should be working with him to some degree. Kevin says, I think we should be looking at, you know, Herman. Obviously, Herman asked me the other day if he put me on the block next to Jess, next to you, and then Jess went home, could we still work together? Like, that was his first game conversation with me in, like, weeks. Who is this guy? Which is, you know, again, he's definitely trying to push onto Herman here. Mm-hmm. He thinks people will pitch for Gino and Marty to go up. Don't think they should do that. He would like to build something. He proposes, like, what do you think about an alliance with Gino and Jace? And Jess is hesitant to lock something like that in. They wonder if there's a way to keep them close without having it be an alliance. And he's like, well, what about like a secret alliance? And they're like, do we have to call it that though? They're very hesitant about this.
Which I genuinely do think now is the time. You know, we just talked about if Herman had won, he would have tried to restructure and like get something solid going. You're knocking on the door of jury after this, pretty much. You need something solid to float on. I really do think you need something solid to float on. And I agree. Don't make it a public thing. But a secret alliance is not the worst thing. I mean, listen, labels don't matter. You need them to feel solid with you. But then ultimately, I think it's very clear that when Jess mentions to Jace, like, I don't want people to know we're working closely. When Jess mentions to Marty, I don't want people to know how happy you are. Keep it to yourself. But then says to Kevin, I need you to talk to me more. I need you to be close to me more. I think this is the person they're going to ride with the distance, but they can't just ride on a two. They need more options. And I think that currently Kevin would have more options than Jess would. So Jess definitely needs to be on board with more plans like this. And it doesn't have to be with Gino and Jace. Sure. But with someone, you gotta put a ring on somewhere with somebody here, I think. To get somewhere with this.
Yes. And so Kevin is also going to bring up Helena. He thinks that they can work with Helena, and Jess agrees on Helena. So the interesting thing about this, right, is that, you know, I do agree. I think that Jess needs to lock something in here. The problem is that, Jess recognizes that they are close with Jace. Yes, that's great. But Jace is obviously closer with Gino. Mm-hmm. They're close with Kevin. But as we've talked about, Kevin does see them as expendable. And Kevin, I think, is closer to people like Helena. Kevin also has Josh. Kevin also has Marty to some degree. Kevin has other options. This is a good alliance for Jess to work with. But I'm actually not quite as down on Jess's reluctance to really lock something in here, because I do think that Jess could be seen as expendable to this alliance and would likely be at the bottom of it, whereas Kevin would be probably at the center of it. It's Kevin's design, and it would work really well for Kevin. The problem is that Jess still doesn't really have many other options. Now, they are going to talk about Summer. And so when it comes to options, I think it's important to get to that bit as well. But in the meantime, again, they're talking about other people. Kevin brings up Summer. He says, I think Summer's throwing every comp, which she's throwing the HOHs. She's kind of implied that that's what she's doing. And I still think she shouldn't be. I think it would have been very good if she had won this HOH. She's now in kind of a tricky spot. I think she can navigate it. I think there's a path through this for Summer where she comes out on the other side looking even better. But it would have been a lot easier if she had just been in power. Would have been good. But he says he does feel better with Summer than he does with Tanisha. However, I think he thinks that's her game, right? Like, he says, I feel like I'm like her number four or five. Like, not worth going after her now, but something to keep in mind. And Jess says, well, I do think, you know, it sounds like she's saying the same things to you that she is to me. So definitely something to keep track of. Maybe it would be worth bringing Summer to Wendy's. And Kevin thinks that's a good idea. Kevin is also going to suggest to Jess, when Jess is asking if one of Moose or Herman win the veto, they're going to need a replacement. Kevin briefly mentions, like, worst case scenario, you can always send Betty home and we'll be closer to Josh, but they kind of ride through that idea into Kevin suggesting, if you need a replacement, Summer wouldn't be the worst idea. She's playing the best game in the house right now, and getting her up on the block would kind of tank that for her, right? The person that's playing the best is often the person that touches the block last. And we're even though we're recognizing what she's doing, we still don't want to put her up on the block. So maybe that means we should put her up on the block, kind of keep that shine off a little bit, and limit her from, you know, getting too far ahead of us, essentially. And so he throws that out as an idea. But ultimately, it seems as though Summer is likely going to be the person that Jess takes to Wendy's. And this is actually where I think Jess should really be looking at, because this is a conversation, the Jess conversation with Summer, where there's an opportunity for both of them. Summer is totally fine with throwing Herman to the wolves. And if Jess knows this, then Jess will likely feel a lot better with Summer. And Summer can try to pitch something with Jess as well. And this is an opportunity again for Jess to get something outside of this group that is primarily benefiting, you know, people like Kevin. I think that there's an opportunity for both of them there. The talks between Summer and Jess haven't really happened yet to the degree that they need to. So it'll be very interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, I think the Wendy's date will shed a bunch of light on the trajectory of this week. This conversation with Kevin was very fascinating for me, because Kevin also tells Jess, basically alludes, hey, so I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but I'll tell you this. I can give you some tools on how to talk to people in your meetings if you want. Mm-hmm. And he says there's two things you need to keep note of. One, no open-ended questions. Do not use open-ended questions. Do not use the word why. The word why is bad. Don't do that. And then also says, make sure you use labels, was the second thing.
Yes. Well, I think he said he wants them to use open-ended questions, just not open-ended questions that are why.
Oh, they're good. Yes. Just don't use why.
Yes. Don't ask why. That's too aggressive. It makes you feel like you're being questioned, interrogated. Mm-hmm. Other open-ended questions, just not yes or no questions. Get them talking. And then, yes, the other one being labels. And what he means by labels is he gives the example. He says, seems like you're having an interesting first HOH. And it's a little awkward because they're like, okay, so you want me to respond? He's like, I don't know. It just seems like you're having an interesting first night of HOH. They're like, oh yeah, well, you know, it was weird. We'd do the thing and we went to the family members. And he's like, see, I just used it on you. Even if you know it's being used on you, if you say something, and then the important part is you just need to pause, just hard pause. And they will fill it in with words. If you make a statement and you're right, then they'll keep talking. They'll just keep going. They'll say something. If you're wrong, they're all egomaniacs. They're going to want to correct you. We're all egomaniacs. We're on a reality TV show. He's saying this is a great way to get people to talk. And I like what he's doing here. Obviously, these are, you know, pretty good methods of getting people to talk. He's also doing it in a way that's not, this could easily come off as condescending. But he's doing it in a light enough way that I think it's landing for Jess. Jess is saying, like, he's allowing Jess to be in on it, and not being like, no, this is how it works. He's sort of like, when Jess is like, I like to ask people how they feel. And he's like, yes, that's great. That's brilliant. Like, you know, and he says, you probably know this already. So I'm just giving you my take on it, my secret. And so that's good. He says, this is my biggest secret in the game. Please don't tell anyone. So, like, obviously, I mean, this is great stuff from Kevin. The fact that he is calculated when he's talking to people. He knows how to do these kinds of things. I mean, it's exactly what, what we do on a podcast too. I say something, hard pause. That's when Puya knows to come in and talk. Right. So, that's all great. The real value here, though, is that this is an almost useless secret. Like, this doesn't actually do anything for Jess beyond give Jess like a small tip in the game, but it feels very heavy. It feels like he has entrusted Jess with this big secret. When Jess is feeling like we haven't been talking enough, and Kevin opens up with this, like, here's my secret weapon, I'm giving it to you. It's not that valuable. I mean, it's not going to make up for a bad social game, bad strategic game. It's just a small little trick that sounds very nice. But ultimately, the real value here is the currency that it's being used as when it comes to the relationship building with Jess. And by the end of this conversation, Jess is feeling like, I feel way better about us right now. Like, this is really good. And I thought that is like, super, super valuable. Something that Kevin did very well in this conversation was really making it feel like he was opening up to Jess. Now, obviously, it is a little bit of like a hold that Jess has on him, in the sense that if Jess tells people that this is what Kevin does, people will be looking at Kevin sideways a little bit. But for the most part, it's a fairly harmless secret that feels very heavy. And I think that he did a very good job of revealing it to them in that way.
I mean, it's no sports media, but it's
yes.
Yeah.
So he says, this is my biggest secret in the game. Please don't tell anyone. And they go, what do you think? I tell people things. And he says, no, I don't. But, and this is again, like, I just stepped on myself here. How do I get out of this one? He goes, no, but let me give you something else to make up for what I just did there. There are people that do say that. So I'm gonna let you know. Josh said that to me. Josh says that you can't keep a secret. And obviously, like, you had that thing with him this morning. I think that you should try to work on Josh. I'll try to work on Josh. I think that we can still work with Josh, but there is a little bit of a rift there. And he does think that you can't keep a secret. I'm going to try to get Josh to confide in you that he's working with Betty, because it's obvious he's working with Betty. Everyone knows it, but he thinks it's secret. So if we can get him to confide in you that he's working with Betty, that's a good way for him to be telling you a secret, and then you can keep the secret, and then we can help sort of like get this back on track.
Right. And you know, the Josh conversation is what we're going to end the night with. So some of this stuff that you're hearing here, you will find seasonings of that in the next conversation. Mm-hmm.
So Jess says, talks about the replacement nominee again. This is when Kevin suggests perhaps Summer. Jess also had wondered at one point, like, do you think it's worth it to maybe, like, what if I threw Gino up to hide the relationship that I have with him? Kevin says, look, I love you. I don't want to be like telling you what to do in any way, but I will tell you from my perspective, the part of why I wanted to win this HOH is because I think this is a super simple week. I think don't overthink it. You throw two people up that said your name. You make it super simple, super easy. Don't get too fancy. And they're like, yeah, you're right.
What do you think? Is Kevin right?
I think Kevin is right. I think
so who should go up?
Here's the thing. I do think that that you know Hermann is probably the right target for Jess. I think that ultimately, again, I think the most important thing for Jess is, you know, they're already on track with locking in, you know, Gino, Jace, Marty, Kevin, Helena, and even Josh to some degree. I think that the important part for them now is to have these conversations with Summer, and Tanisha, because the thing is, Tanisha's not the danger everyone thinks she is. And if Jess can develop a relationship with Tanisha that's good and solid, that would be huge for Jess in the game. So work on that, relationship. They've already indicated to themselves, at least, that they wouldn't mind seeing Hermann go and that they wouldn't mind seeing Moose stay, but they also wouldn't mind seeing Moose go. So get their opinions, make them feel heard. Make it in really, Jess probably doesn't realize this, but Jess could probably make it seem like it was Summer and Tanisha's idea to take out Hermann. And then you're in a really nice spot. I do think Hermann is the right target for Jess ultimately, particularly because of this next Josh conversation. You take out Hermann, you cut off that newly formed final two between him and Josh. And things are looking a lot better for you on the board if you've developed that relationship with Summer and Tanisha. So that's what I think that they should do. And on the surface, it all looks very simple and straightforward. So I think that's the play here.
Yeah, I think ultimately, if the veto does get used, Jess has to basically pick someone that without a doubt will have the votes to stay and the other person to leave for them to have the optimal week they want. And I think putting up Gino, I could see Gino leaving.
Oh, yeah.
So... And if that wasn't your objective, then there's no point. Because if your objective is to get rid of him, you put him up now. You don't put him up as the third nominee. Because at this point, your mind's made up on who the two are that you would like to see one of leave.
Yeah, Gino either leaves or he stays. And the people who voted to keep him get to use that as the most recent, like, you know, chip. To use with Gino that, like, hey, I'm developing a relationship with you, Gino. I'm working to keep you this week. Jess put you on the block. Like, you know, it's not the way. Like, if Gino stayed, he's probably not in a spot where you would have wanted him to stay anymore. So I don't think the putting Gino up is the right call here. You know, in the event, the somewhat likely event that Jess might need a replacement nominee, I do think that, you know, somebody like Betty wouldn't be the worst option in the world. Sometimes I get it. People don't want to piss Betty off, but sometimes you just got to go with the easy pawn option. And Betty is in that position in the house right now. She still doesn't want anything. And it's also kind of like a little bit of, if Betty goes up against Hermann, you kind of neuter Josh a little bit in his potential campaign to try and keep Hermann around, which again, we will get to soon. You could also throw Betty up initially and then go for the back door, which is something worth, I think, considering all this veto stuff. Cause I really do think you want Hermann out over Moose, but, it's not the worst thing if Moose goes, especially if you can then, again, considering the conversation between Josh and Jess that we're about to get to, you can kind of like out Josh and Hermann as close. You can maybe paint another target there. So I think ultimately Moose and Hermann is a pretty good plan in general, but we'll see how the week goes. And it requires more work that I haven't seen Jess do yet, but we'll see how Jess handles the Summer and Tanisha conversations. As we move forward, Jace is going to let Gino know, dude, you got to talk to Jess. He's like, all right, I'll do it eventually.
Gino's back to his chilling ways, Taryn, just hanging out, not doing, you know, doing whatever, not really focused on doing a whole lot. Obviously, he's still coming down off of the HOH reign and having got rid of Kyle. So, I don't know. He seemed like he was like a little bit out of it last night, but also I can't blame him.
Yes. So Josh is going to talk to Jess And Jess asks Josh, who are you close with? He says, Betty and Helena. He is still kind of playing up the discord between himself and Marty. I think he's trying to play into what Jess, he thinks Jess wants from him, which is that Jess was upset that he wasn't more upset about Marty wanting Josh on the block. And so now he's trying to like overcompensate for that. And he's talking about how sketchy he finds Marty, but that's not what Jess wants to hear now because Jess doesn't want to go for Marty. So Jess lets Josh know, like, I'm thinking about doing Moose and Herman. And they want to know from Josh, like, who he'd think between the two of them. And Josh, is pretty heavy handed in how firmly he wants Herman to stay and Moose to go. He says that, you know, he doesn't have a great relationship with Moose. He feels like Moose is, like a sketchier player and he would rather Moose leave. Jess pushes back pretty firmly. I think Herman is the much more connected player. No, I mean, he's a lot more entrenched. He's a lot more powerful in the game. And Josh and Moose is just kind of by himself right now a little bit. And Josh says, I think Moose can rebuild really fast though. If you don't get him out, I feel like you got to get him out soon. You got to get him out quick. And Jess is like, but Herman is already like established. Like Herman is already in that spot. I feel like Herman is the call. And Jess is kind of starting to realize like, so who would you have put up if you had won? And Josh says, probably like Moose and Marty. Like if alarm bells aren't going off in Jess's head, then their head is not in the game.
Well, I think the bigger focus for Jess in that conversation was, why is Herman not getting any of the negative stuff that we're talking like that they think he should be getting? Mm-hmm. Because again, Josh very clearly indicates where he would go, where his mind would be, where his vote would go. And I think Jess is more so focused on, but why not Herman than to think, oh, you'd put up Marty. Okay. Well, what? So I feel like that is something that Jess in that moment was more so focused on. Ultimately, Jess does say, so if you won the veto, if you play and you win the veto, because first, would you want to win the veto? Yes. If you win the veto, can you promise me you wouldn't use it? Josh promises he wouldn't use the veto to Jess in the event that he wins it this week.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, we know Josh is very quick to make veto promises. So we'll see where that
actually
goes.
Those veto checks can bounce at any time.
Now, just as a reminder, if you forgot or you know hadn't listened to the last couple of updates, I think it might have been yesterday's update actually. Herman very recently proposed a final two with Josh. Josh had not been feeling great about Herman, but Herman really went for it with Josh. Pitched a final two called BCBs, the BC Babies, mm-hmm. And so it seems as though that landed, and that is why Josh is. And maybe he's not like fully in Herman's corner by any means, but between Herman and Moose, Moose, he has very little relationship with. It seems pretty clear that he's looking to send Moose out over Herman. So he is definitely pushing here. And despite the indication from Jess that I really want Herman, Josh is not backing down. And if Herman has any chance of staying, I think it's going to come from Josh. It would be Herman pulling himself out of the fire, with some quick work, making that final two with Josh before the HOH. You know, Josh is somebody that could absolutely go to Summer and Tanisha, who currently, you know, seem to prefer Moose sticking around over Herman, but with Josh's influence, I think he could easily tip the scales. I don't think the scales are that heavily weighed toward Herman. So he could easily tip the scales in that direction. He also has influence over Betty, and Betty could move it in that way as well. The problem is that, you know, is he really going to try and lead a revolt against Jess again on this vote? If it is Moose and Herman by the end of the week, and it's looking like it needs to be a, you know, Josh, Summer, Tanisha, Betty, and I don't even know who their fifth vote is here. It would be probably Kevin, Helena, Gino, Jace, and Marty on the other side. So they would need to pull a fifth vote. Maybe they can pull Gino and Jace to flip against Jess as well. If they feel like they're going to feel better, a lot better about Marty than Moose, it's still kind of a tough pull. If Jess locks in the votes in the way that they should be to get Marty or to get Hermann out. But even if they can pull it, will they want to is another question, especially somebody like Josh. Like, are you really going to stick your neck out and draw a line in the sand just for Hermann? It's another question. Things could get interesting here if they both stay on the block, although that seems kind of unlikely again with how the vetoes have been playing out. So interesting stuff there.
Yeah, and the trend of winning veto and the nominees coming off is definitely something that's in everyone's head at this point. No one yet has said, well, I'm just not going to put my target on the block. That hasn't happened yet. I wonder if we're going to get closer to that if someone does win this week, potentially. Who knows? But I do think it'll be a very interesting week in that I'm very excited to see the Moose campaign versus the Hermann campaign, where that goes. I'm interested to see if Hermann is able to reassure Tanisha, reassure Summer that he is good with them. It's going to be fascinating to see. I think that, you know, I said at the top of this podcast that this week, more so than the last 2 weeks, has been more set in stone. But by no means do I think it's going to be a boring week. I think there's going to be a lot of game played here. And I think, you know, again, we're knocking on jury's door. I think no one wants to be this close to missing out on that. So I think everyone who's going to be nominated is going to play hard for survival here.
Yeah, we're on the bubble here. Really, the last thing for me to mention, at least, Kevin and Helena do check in last night. And they are still, you know, they haven't really, you know, done regular check-ins, but they are still seemingly in lockstep here. Kevin says, like, I've got Jess. Like, I have got Jess. And Helena's like, I got Marty. Like, we're in. Like, and so they feel pretty good about the situation. Jess winning this was huge for Kevin's game. Definitely big for Helena's game if they're going to get what they want here and potentially take out Hermann. So I would definitely look out for the both of them, again, making sure that those votes are locked in if Hermann stays up on the block. And I do get the sense that Kevin is more loyal to a Helena than a Jess overall. So that's where we're at. Some interesting intrigue going on in the house, Booyah.
Very much a lot of intrigue. There was some stuff this morning. I don't want to steal from the Saturday person again, so I won't do that. I will say one thing only, and that is Betty essentially told Jess that if Hermann was on the block, there's pretty much a 0% chance that she would vote against Hermann. So Jess now has that information for potential renoming, if Jess decides I really need Hermann gone, knows where Betty is. Betty mentioned the siblings to Jess. Taryn, who's part of the siblings? Great question. We'll find that out at some point, hopefully. I didn't see anyone mention it, so I thought, you know, it might be something that was made while the feeds were down or something. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this day goes. You know, this is going to be Hermann's first time on the block potentially here. And then Moose has obviously been on the block before, but this is a different circumstance than the wildness that was week three. So we'll see where everything goes. I'm excited. I'm excited to find out. I saw someone mention, do we know for sure jury is this week? So last night I went through all the BBCan wikis, and there are seasons where there were 16 people, but they started with 14, or there were seasons where they started with 14, then there was a 15th. Those were seven. But BBCan 5 that started with 16 out the gate was 9. So I assume 9. I'm assuming 9 currently with 16 people.
It would be weird to have like 7 full people evicted before we got to the jury. Yeah. But who knows? Who knows what we're seeing here?
We don't know 100% yet.
Yes. So that's about what we had from yesterday. As Puya mentioned, there has been some stuff this morning, but we will get to that tomorrow, of course, as things move. The plan, I believe, is still in place. Moose and Hermann for the block. And, you know, maybe a little bit of some conversations have been happening between Jess and Moose and Jess and Hermann, but I don't think they've necessarily changed anything. So that's what we've got. That's what we're looking at here. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Booyah?
No, I think that's everything. I think we covered everything. It was a good, you know, chunkier update today than the Friday's past, but it was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. We will have the official nominations locked in by tomorrow morning and probably some more idea of how the vote might go if the two stay on the block. And then we'll be looking at the veto competition happening tomorrow, which we will update you on Sunday morning. So tune in for all of that. And of course, come and find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episodes live with all of you. It's a lot of fun. I'm also going to be doing an Oscar stream tomorrow, probably, so that we'll be talking some movies, some Oscar movies with Melissa and Lita. And then on Sunday, you know, some goose duck, some social strategy, gaming, and then Monday we'll have another episode of Big Brother. Check it out. The Taryn Show with Peridium came out this week. Check out the Taryn Show with Peridium.
It was a lot of
great
fun.
Time talking with him. Find me over on Twitter as well at Armstrong Taryn. That's what I got for you. Puya, what are you up to?
First, Twitter at Puyaism, twitch.tv/Puya. That's right. Sunday we will be playing Goose Goose Duck. A new map came out a couple days ago, so we're going to be playing in a brand new map on Sunday. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. Masked Singer wrap up going on reality TV wrap up. Check that out. 90 Day Fiance as well going on the same network. Both very fun. And then I've got Bel Air over on Post Show Recaps with Chappelle. We're 2 weeks away from the season being done, but it's been a fun ride thus far.
Yes. And of course, I'm going to be talking with Kyle in a couple hours. So make sure you stay tuned for the Kyle exit interview. We'll see what we can do with it see what he's got to say. So check that out. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.